presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Do you remember on yesterday's show, we talked about how we were going to be calmer and have more fun and relax and sort of loosen up a little bit? That was fun while it lasted. Things are all back to normal here today as Georgia is now looking for a new offensive coordinator. Jim Chaney, first reported by 24/7 Sports, leaving Georgia to take the offensive coordinator job at Tennessee. And when you have a situation like this with a guy leaving a program like Georgia to go to one of Georgia's biggest rivals, there is going to be a lot of reaction and a lot to figure out in terms of what really happened here behind the scenes. We did a lot of this on video last night. It's great to get a chance to do this with you here this morning on both video, radio, and podcast. Let me dive into what I think has been about the most interesting piece of, additional news on this over the course of the last, 10 hours or so in terms of, why this goes down, what happens here. ESPN has a report last night on ESPN.com written by Chris Lowe, a guy who knows the SEC really well. And there was some initial, scuttlebutt about what Lowe had written because apparently, Lowe had some information about a potential disagreement, a little bit of a lack of cohesion between Georgia offensive coordinator Jim Chaney and quarterbacks coach James Coley. If you go to ESPN.com, though, and read that piece right now, you don't see that. But we Googled this last night around 11 p.m., and what's called the metadata on Google, which gives you an idea of the text and the page. In fact, I think I could show this to you here. When you look at the metadata on Google of this story from ESPN.com, here's a very interesting couple lines here. Initially, I guess, written by Chris Lowe, although not currently in the ESPN.com story. It says, this is via Google of the ESPN story that's up online right now with this text now removed. Sources told ESPN that Chaney, who had 2 years left on his three-year contract at Georgia, had grown frustrated with co-offensive coordinator quarterbacks coach James Coley's involvement in game planning and play calling. That stands out at least initially when it was included in the text as a possible reason for why Chaney would want to go to Tennessee. Now, what do you make of all this? The fact that it was in the story apparently at one point in time and then taken out of the story. It just goes to show you that when you have a situation like this involving both Georgia and Tennessee, both sides are going to do their work to say, no, let me tell you what really happened. Here is the real story for why Chaney was at Georgia, now at Tennessee. Tennessee's going to have its side of the story. Georgia's going to have its side of the story. And when it comes to something like this not being included, A, if it is true, we don't know what Chaney and Coley could have been in disagreement over, other than the fact that maybe that Chaney didn't feel fully respected as the full-fledged offensive coordinator, given the ascendancy of Coley. But even beyond that, we don't know why this was once in and suddenly not in. Did somebody say, hey, you didn't have permission to print that? Or, hey, that's not exactly how this went down. Is it, differing opinions when it comes to that kind of stuff? When we talked about this last night on the show, in sort of the immediate aftermath of this entire ordeal, that's kind of what I talked about there. That part of what Georgia's dealing with here is a PR campaign. And a lot of Georgia fans are going to want to believe the Chaney's departure because, let's face it, with a lot of Georgia fans, Chaney was not popular. A lot of Georgia fans are going to want to believe that Chaney's departure is tantamount to a firing, that Kirby Smart had grown tired of Chaney for some of the same reasons that many of you have grown tired of Chaney. I don't know how fully true that is. I'll explain why later on, why that may not be quite as tidy as some Georgia fans want it to be, but there is at least now a growing body of evidence to support Georgia's side of this story, that this was more about Georgia not fighting very hard to keep Chaney than it was Tennessee swooping in, showing its muscle to bring Chaney in. Let me first of all point to a really good piece of reporting from Dog Nation's Mike Griffith, who was able to get some specifics on the contract that Chaney's expected to sign with the University of Tennessee. If you're once again watching on the screen, I'll show this to you. If not, I'll read it to you, and I'll invite you to check out the entire piece from Mike at DogNation.com. Mike will also be with us a little bit later on the program. Mike wrote late last night that sources say Chaney has negotiated a deal with the Vols worth between $4.5 and $5 million over 3 years. A significant raise from the contract he has had in place that paid him $950,000 annually, $2.85 million over 3 years through June of 2021 at Georgia. Once again, that's Dog Nation's Mike Griffith. So for the Georgia fans who want to believe the Georgia side of the story, which is, listen, Georgia's not going to fight that hard to keep Jim Chaney. They're not in love that in love with Jim Chaney. Mike's reporting on this would certainly seem to back that up a little bit, because as Connor Riley pointed out on Twitter last night, this is not going to make Chaney the highest paid offensive coordinator in college football, like $1.5 million per year. This is Georgia saying, listen, we like you. You're okay. We're not going to pay you $1.5 million a year. Mike's reporting on this would seem to back up the Georgia side that this is more about a desperate move for Tennessee than it is some sort of desperate flailing on the part of Georgia to keep Chaney at all costs. The other thing here that seems to also bolster the Georgia side of the story, and as we discussed last night, you know, there was a lot of rumblings and concerns from Georgia fans that Chaney's departure might also mean bad news for his good friend of the Georgia staff, Sam Pittman. Backstory here, the Georgia offensive line coach is among the most successful position coaches in all of college football, and the reason why Chaney's here in the first place is because he is a guy that was able to work with Sam Pittman, a guy that Pittman wanted to work with. Pittman left Arkansas to come to Georgia when Kirby Smart was hired, and essentially, you know, Chaney was one of those sort of hand-picked guys to get Pittman to come over. That was viewed as a major coup when it happened. It's proven to be an unbelievable boost to the Georgia program because of the recruiting work that Pittman's done along the offensive line and the success his offensive line has had on the field for Georgia. With Chaney leaving, there's obviously going to be a lot of concern that Pittman, who's been a bit of a journeyman in his career a bit too, that he might be also leaving as well, which would make the Chaney news look worse if it did jeopardize Sam Pittman's future at Georgia. But now we've got some good reporting from Jeff Sintel at Dog Nation that puts those fears to rest. Let me read this to you once again from Jeff's piece, and for more detail on this, I'd invite you to check out the full piece from Jeff Sintel at DogNation.com. Jeff writes that Pittman is not expected to leave to coach the offensive line at Tennessee. Now listen to this sentence. The same can be said in regard to Alabama's interest in him as well. I'll be pausing Jeff's quote here and remind you that Brent Key is thought to maybe be leaving Alabama to take a position at Georgia Tech. That's been reported by the AJC. If Key leaves, the offensive line position would be open at Alabama. Pittman is also good friends with Dan Enos, who's thought to be the next offensive coordinator for the Crimson Tide. So it's more than just a Tennessee issue for Pittman. It could potentially be Alabama as well. Jeff says at Dog Nation, in a story you can read right now, that neither of those scenarios are going to take place. Jeff writes, a source close to that situation has told Dog Nation Pittman plans to return as offensive line coach for the 2019 season. Once again, that's Jeff Sintel from DogNation.com. So in the immediate aftermath of what happened last night with Jim Chaney leaving, there's a lot of concern of, does this represent a Georgia program on the offensive side of the ball kind of falling apart? Justin Fields just transferred. Georgia missed out on a high-profile recruit like five-star wide receiver Jaden Hazelwood. Jim Chaney now leaving for Tennessee. Is this Chaney dissatisfied with Georgia? A lot of Georgia fans are going to step up and say, no. This is an example of maybe Georgia being dissatisfied with Jim Chaney. The truth on this may actually be somewhere in the middle, but the overall evidence to suggest that Georgia's going to be just fine after all of this is certainly starting to grow. Georgia did not apparently want to match a $1.5 million offer for Chaney, as Dog Nation has reported, and is maybe going to give some more money to Sam Pittman in order to keep him. That's an arrangement I think works out just fine for Georgia fans. If there's money to be granted here, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to give that money to Chaney in the hopes of keeping Pittman when you could just give that money to Sam Pittman to begin with. So overall, if you're a Georgia fan who initially was worried about the news involving Jim Chaney, maybe some of the new news that follows up after this maybe gives you reason not to be quite so worried after all. And the process of Georgia maintaining its perch near the top of college football, it certainly seems like Georgia's in a pretty good position to kind of roll on with that. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're live on video this morning and glad to have you with us. 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter feed. We're also on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rev and in podcast form, wherever podcasts can be found. Glad to have you with us today. We'll have more on Mike Griffith's reporting in just a moment when he joins us live here on Dog Nation Daily. I'll also remind you as well that we had a great time last night, at least before the Chaney news broke, right there in our laps while we were there at Marlowe's in Dunwoody. What a great time that was to sort of build the momentum towards National Signing Day. coming up in February. So much fun to be with you. So much fun to be with Jeff Sintel. For all of you who came out last night, huge thanks to you for that. And for those of you who said, man, I missed you last night, but I'd love to see a Marlowe's event soon. The great news is the month of January is going to offer a lot of opportunities for you to do just that, including this next week. We're going to be back at it again at a Marlowe's Tavern, making our triumphant return to Buford. It's been a while since we've been at the Marlowe's location there in Buford. We're going to be up there in the north part of Gwinnett County next week. It's Tuesday, January 15th from 6 to 8 p.m. Marlowe's in Buford. That's right there at the Mall of Georgia. It's 3333 Buford Drive, but it's essentially like right there connected to the Mall of Georgia. We'll be there from 6 to 8 p.m. So please come out and see us at the Marlowe's in Buford, Mall of Georgia location next Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. Myself and Jeff Sintel. That's going to be an incredible, incredible time. All right. Before I talk to Mike Griffith, let me give you some more context on the Jim Chaney situation as we go around the doghouse here on this Wednesday, brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. So what I told you a moment ago was that Jim Chaney's out, going to Tennessee. Tennessee is going to try to sell this as a great win for the Tennessee program, swooping in and taking away Georgia's offensive coordinator. Georgia's going to try to sell this as, hey, listen, this is no big deal for Georgia. Georgia didn't want to match the Tennessee offer. Georgia's major concern is holding on to Sam Pittman, and the fact that Georgia is going to be able to do that means losing Chaney's no big deal. The evidence as we understand it right now would certainly support Georgia's claim on that. But there's also an element in which this story is a little more complicated than even those two stark contrasts here. Because there are a lot of Georgia fans who are going to want to take Chaney's departure as an example and evidence that Kirby Smart was dissatisfied with Jim Chaney. Chaney has always been, I'm talking about going back to 2016 for sure, but even in last year of 2017 when the Georgia offense was humming along to the tune of a college football playoff appearance, Chaney has always been a lightning rod for criticism. And some Georgia fans are going to view Chaney's departure now as evidence that they were right, that Chaney is no good as an offensive coordinator, and even Kirby Smart knows it. And the fact that Chaney's not here proves all of that to be the case. But the actual circumstantial evidence may suggest that while Georgia didn't fight as hard as it needed to hold on to Chaney, at a certain point they grew tired of that process. There certainly seemed to be some evidence they at least fought a little bit hard to hold on to Chaney, suggesting that maybe Kirby wasn't quite as dissatisfied with the Georgia offense as some Georgia fans have been. Let me give you some more evidence that points to this being true. Last night, good report from Chip Towers at DogNation.com talking to Georgia tight end Isaac Nauta. Now, Nauta's on his way out of the program now, but he's still obviously close to the situation in Athens, at least for the moment. And he said something to Chip Towers that I thought was pretty interesting last night. Let me show you the quote here from Nauta to Towers at DogNation.com in terms of what Nauta is hearing. And he's just like the rest of us, kind of mixed up in all the rumor mill here, but presumably he's closer than some of us when it comes to stuff like this because he actually played on this team this past year. Here is Nada's quote to Chip Towers. Nada says, and this is an honest moment from him, he says, "I don't know what to believe right now. The last I heard was he was signing an extension with Georgia after the Tennessee rumors first began." That's tight end Isaac Nauta talking to Chip Towers at DogNation.com. So for the people who want to say that this is an example of you know, Jim Chaney being, you know, completely on the outside with Kirby Smart, Smart looking to totally overhaul the Georgia offense, Nada's quote would seem to dispute that. Mike Griffith's report that Georgia initially offered Chaney a raise would seem to dispute that. The fact that Chaney, according to some other reporting from Mike Griffith earlier in the week, got a contract extension last year would also seem to dispute that. Now, for the most part, that's water under the bridge that doesn't really matter. But here's why I bring that up. Because when you look at what the Georgia offense is going to be going forward, for the people who want the new-look Georgia offense to be a true new look, a complete departure from what Jim Chaney has been doing, I think this circumstantial evidence suggests that's not going to happen. The fact that, you know, while Georgia didn't want to offer Chaney $1.5 million, it apparently, suggested by Nada, reported by Griffith, at least offered him another raise here after the 2018 season, after giving him his extension a year ago, would suggest that Kirby Smart was a little happier with the Georgia offense than maybe some Georgia fans fans are. And so that when Georgia, you know, has a different coordinator in place in 2018, it's likely to be more of a tweak than it is a complete overhaul. I don't know how that lands with all Georgia fans, but I do think that's an important addendum to this discussion. It's Dog Nation Daily here around the doghouse presented by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. By now, you know what Engineered Solutions of Georgia provides. It's foundation repair, basement waterproofing, crawl space encapsulation, and they offer a lifetime of support. That's why you want to give them a call right now. It's 678-ESOG now. That number once again, 678-ESOG now. You can have one of their qualified basement professional technicians come out to your home. You can check for a crack foundation, a wet basement, a damp crawl space. They'll take really good care of you. They're the only foundation repair company the Dog Nation would trust because they're the only one that has a full-time engineer on staff. That really matters. When you talk about the support for your house and how you kind of keep all that in place, you got to have an engineer that knows what he or she is doing, and certainly Engineered Solutions of Georgia has that. That's why we trust them. So give them a call at 678-ESOG now. We have a lot on Jim Chaney on today's program. Later on, we'll talk about how his arrival at Knoxville could impact the Vols offense, what that means for the race in the SEC East this season. We'll do that. And we'll talk about the one area in which I think that Georgia obviously needs to be better next season, and maybe the one area in which you can probably point to some issues that Kirby Smart may have had with Chaney. We'll talk about that. But for more of the facts, more of the details on exactly what went on, how much Georgia did fight to keep Chaney, and what his actual departure truly means, let's talk to Mike Griffith right now here on Dog Nation Daily.
Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
We will say hello to Mike Griffith here. Incredible reporting from him last night. He was also the first one to break the fact that Chaney had signed a contract extension. He did that a year ago. Mike broke the story a couple of days ago. That never really made its way into the public sphere until Mike brought that to bear. So, Mike, we appreciate your reporting on this here for DogNation.com. And let me kind of state what I've said on the show, and then I want to pick up with what you were able to learn and report last night. It seems like, based on reading what you've reported and what Chip and Jeff have also added to this, that Georgia may have tried a little bit to keep Jim Chaney. You know, certainly putting to bed, you know, the thoughts that Kirby Smart was completely dissatisfied with the Georgia offense and some of the issues that Chaney may have had. But as you said, it did not go the full way. And you got a source, you know, quote to say that this was about money for Chaney, that at a certain point, you know, Georgia got to an area in which it was just no longer comfortable matching what Tennessee was bringing to the table. Am I kind of stating this correctly in your opinion in terms of how this went down with ultimately how Jim Chaney ends up at Tennessee?
Yeah, there's a lot of dynamics to it, Brandon. Anytime you've got a staff, you've got to make sure that, you know, that there's staff harmony. I mean, obviously we know that working, you know, as closely as we work together on a lot of the stories that we do and the games that we cover. And, you know, it's up to the manager to make sure that everybody's on, you know, in a good place from a staff harmony standpoint. And, you know, you can't pay Jim Chaney $1.5 million or $1.7 million or whatever that number's going to end up. I'm not sure, you know, where that negotiation ended, and pay some defensive assistants $320,000. I mean, that's not going to happen in a program like Georgia. You know, you've got to have some balance and some harmony. And if you're going to raise Jim Chaney to 1.7, does that mean you raise Coley to 1.7, Del McGee to 1.7? And Sam Pittman, you can't do that. Everybody can't be, you know, a $1.7 or $1.5 million guy. And, you know, you look at, you know, let's be honest about the Jim Chaney situation this year, and let's look at the end results. And, you know, while I think Jim is a good coach, and I think he's what Tennessee needs right now, he's a coordinator that Jeremy Pruitt will respect, and you know, he'll have run a similar offense to what Kirby's doing. The bottom line is that Georgia had some problems this year. You know, there were some players that second-guessed Jim Chaney's play calling in short yard situations. When I was at the Sugar Bowl, that came out. I didn't think that in and of itself was the story because, you know, players are kind of always talking. But, you know, in hindsight, looking back, you know, that was a smoking gun. You know, the short yardage issues they had, the Justin Fields situation certainly. You know, Jim Chaney said at the Sugar Bowl he thought they did right, and he said it was his job to figure out the best way to use Justin Fields. And, you know, in hindsight, obviously Justin Fields and his family didn't feel like they were used properly. You know, Jim Chaney bears some responsibility for that. You know, Isaac Nata goes pro. You can't put that on Jim Chaney, but Luke Ford transfers. I mean, part of Jim Chaney's job is to be a mentor. And, you know, in addition to recruit these kids, keep these kids. And so if you just look at the results, you know, it wasn't ideal. It wasn't the kind of results that would justify doubling Jim Chaney's salary. So I think Kirby was responsible and Georgia was responsible. You know, hey, yeah, you know, match an initial offer, okay, 1.2, whatever. But you start getting into that stratosphere, 1.5, 1.7. Did Jim Chaney do the type of job that warranted him being the highest paid offensive coordinator in the nation? No, he didn't.
So you gave us a lot to chew on right there. So let me try to break up all these things into individual parts. I want to talk to you more about what you said about Justin Fields. I want to talk to you more about Kirby's feelings on Chaney. That's all really interesting. But let me go also back to the first sentence that you spoke when you initially began that answer. You talked about staff harmony, which is a really interesting phrase to use. Now, you reference it in relationship to the salaries that all the various coaches are making. But there's also the, you know, scuttlebutt out there that that Chaney and Coley didn't see eye to eye on issues. Is that believable for you, even if you can't, you know, outright, you know, confirm the suggestion that Chaney and Coley had, you know, I guess had a difficult working relationship? Does it seem believable to you that somehow that Chaney felt threatened by Coley's ascendancy on the Georgia staff?
I don't know that I believe Jim Chaney felt threatened by anybody. But do I believe that there was, you know, some frustration? Absolutely. This was a frustrating season for Georgia. I mean, let's face it. I mean, this is a team that got off to an unexpectedly great start at reaching number two in the country, and then, you know, at LSU, nothing worked. And it was everybody's fault. Let's be clear about that. I mean, that was as much Kirby Smart. It was Mel Tucker. It was everybody. LSU was a complete failure, a complete program loss. Put it on Jake Fromm, put it on, you know, defense, put it on everybody. That, I don't think so. But listen, when I saw Chaney at halftime of Sugar Bowl jetting through that tunnel on his way back up to the press box in a golf cart, the look on his face was, I mean, it was unbelievable. The season ended in a fantastically frustrating way. You know, with Justin Fields leaving, you know, people have told me that Jim Chaney was just absolutely irate with that. A lot of the language that he used on the practice field was being used in reference to Justin Fields. He was very angry about the whole way that thing shut down. I think that he probably took some accountability for that. Again, I'm not. It's not a blame game thing here. I mean, you know, it didn't work out for Justin. You know, Kirby Smart's the head coach. But, you know, Jim Chaney had a big hand in how Justin Fields was used. And it did not work. I mean, they did not keep Justin Fields. At the end of the day, you know, the plan didn't work. And, you know, Kirby had a big hand in the plan, but so did Jim Chaney. At the end of the day, the Georgia offense didn't get the job done against Alabama in the second half again. You know, at the end of the day, Coley was promoted to quarterback's coach, and Jim Chaney was working with the tight ends. So, you know, there's a lot there, Brandon, to look at. And, you know, do I think Kirby wanted Jim gone? Not necessarily, no. But there's only so far you can go, you know, before other guys go, well, wait a minute. You know, if Jim Chaney's making 1.7, why not me?
So let's talk about the Fields part of this for a moment, because I obviously talk about this kind of stuff every single day. And I think it's universally agreed upon that the way that Georgia used Fields this season was incorrect. It's better not to have him on the roster at all if he's only going to be used sporadically the way that he was. It'd be better to have him on the roster and not play him even than the way that he was used. But, Mike, you know, honesty compels me to admit that at the time, me speaking to this microphone, commenters commenting, this was never a deal of why is Jim Chaney using him this way. This was a deal of why is Kirby Smart using him this way. Even though Kirby Smart was not the offensive coordinator, this was always thought to be Kirby Smart's plan or lack of plan for Justin Fields and not Jim Chaney overriding, you know, whatever Smart's vision was. I think for some people, me included, it's going to seem a little too convenient to lay the blame for what went wrong with Justin Fields on the guy who's on his way out the door right now. It may be true, but that's an awful tidy storyline for Georgia to say, you know, Jim Chaney was here, he didn't use Fields correctly, and so now he's gone. Isn't the Fields debacle Kirby Smart's mess to clean up more so than Jim Chaney's?
Well, ultimately, everything falls on the head coach, Brandon. You know, everything, you know, where they say that stuff rolls uphill, right? Ultimately, the boss is always responsible. But, you know, obviously we weren't in those closed-door meetings between Jim Chaney and Kirby Smart for how Justin Fields were going to be used. We weren't there when promises were made, you know, with the family or what if there were promises. We don't know the inner workings, but we do know that Jim Chaney was the play caller. And we do know what Jim Chaney told us in New Orleans, you know, that it was his job, you know, to find ways to use players to the best of their ability. He's the offensive coordinator. He is the offensive expert. You know, I wouldn't go as far as to say he's the head coach of offense, because I do think that Kirby had a framework in place for Jim. I don't think it was a free reign to just do whatever you want. But listen, Jim Chaney's been doing this long enough that he understands complementary football. You know, he understands how the offense works with the defense and the defense works with the offense. You know, in the end, I don't think Jim Chaney is leaving because of any of these particulars. I do think these particulars are why Georgia didn't feel the need to up his ante and match the Tennessee offer. We're not talking about Georgia firing Jim Chaney or Kirby Smart being completely dissatisfied with Jim Chaney. We're talking about why didn't Georgia match the offer when it got that high from Tennessee. And the answer was, you know, in some of these particulars, I believe.
So let me follow up on the Chaney part of this here for a moment then, and the Kirby Smart relationship. So he gets a raise and extension last year. You reported that. You're reporting
modest raise,
but additional years added onto the contract, which is not an insignificant amount of money. That's probably the most important part of that. You're right, small raise, but more years. And Georgia was, according to your reporting, also willing to give him a raise before ultimately declining on the full match that Tennessee was offering. So how dissatisfied can we really say Kirby Smart was if he was willing to give him a raise a year after having just given him another contract extension? What would your response be to that question?
Yeah, no, I mean, to your point, I mean, I think we get back to the harmony there. And, you know, it's interesting on the extension, Brandon. I want to say a word about that. I've seen the paperwork that reflects that Jim didn't get an extension. So I don't blame any of the Georgia reporters, anybody else that's reported that. That's what USA Today has in hand right now. I've seen the paperwork. I made a call to the athletic department. The athletic department told me verbally that this is a contract that goes through June of 2021. Athletic department spokesperson has told multiple people that. We've yet to see that paperwork. So another curious part of this, and now it's very much a side note, but Georgia's new laws with the FOIA and the information access are so murky that this extension took place and nobody knew it. And to me, that's a problem. And I don't understand that. And it's a story for another day, but that's not good for anybody if there's not going to be that level of transparency. I'm not sure why Georgia went backwards with that state law as far as Freedom of Information Act and the public's, you know, right to have public knowledge and information in a reasonable time frame. I think now it's 90 days. In Tennessee, it's 24 hours. Tennessee's going to stay ahead on the story because they have the Sunshine Law factor, the FOIA that is much more favorable, where they can get information and request. In fact, I filed information acts in Tennessee because you're going to get information out of there much faster than Georgia because of these new state laws that came in about the same time Kirby did. So that's an interesting side note to this, is how that was sort of murky and curious that there's been this large assumption that Jim Chaney's contract expired. And to this point, the only paperwork produced indicates that. My report came from directly from a high-ranking university spokesperson that told me that the contract goes through June of 2021, and I had put in a request for that information. So I just want to clarify that part of the story and where that's at. Getting back to the Kirby part, you know, Brandon, honestly, I think there's a lot of room for speculation right now. All we can do is kind of put the pieces out there. So when I bring this information out about the players that second-guessed Jim's play calling at the Sugar Bowl, when I bring the information out there, you know, about the dynamics of the staff salary, you know, these are all pieces to the puzzle. But ultimately, Kirby Smart and Jim Chaney are the only two men that know exactly what happened. We can come up with all these different parts of the story that we know and put them together, but this is not going to, this picture is not going to be completely clear until Kirby speaks, and even then, I don't think Kirby's going to say one bad word about Jim Chaney. I don't think anybody is. I think he was very much respected and well-liked at Georgia. Things weren't perfect, for sure, but I think that Georgia loses a very good coach. But I also think that Kirby Smart's very confident that the Georgia football program can move on and have some success without Jim Chaney.
Couple quick issues before we let you go, Mike. Jeff Sintel's also reported to Dog Nation that Sam Pittman is now expected to return. And for most Georgia fans, as you're full aware, this is the bigger issue for them anyway. Chaney's ultimate value at Georgia and initial value at Georgia was because that was a guy that Sam Pittman wanted to work with. This, for me, is an offense built around Pittman more so than built around Jim Chaney to begin with. So if Georgia wants to, you know, act as if this is all under control, this is a situation well taken care of, it's certainly easier to make that claim with Pittman returning, right?
Well, I was told that the priority was, you know, Pittman, McGee, and Coley. You know, when all this went down, two nights ago, I think Kirby felt like Jim was going to stay. I don't think that they thought that Jim was going to go to Tennessee. That's a very challenging situation. And now it's a from a standpoint of financials, it's, you know, that's Jim's main drive. I mean, he is nearing retirement. You know, he does have an affinity for Tennessee, and there's some connections and some ties there. There may even be some retirement benefits there that may be a little more favorable. I haven't been able to dig in deep enough to confirm all that, but that's some of the things that I've heard. So it's a financial decision for you. Look, nobody's stupid here, all right? Tennessee's not going to win as many football games as Georgia next year. Jim Chaney can only do so much with Jared Garantano. He's not Jake Fromm. That program is in rebuilding. The pressure on Jim Chaney is going to be immense. It's not a better job than Georgia, but it does pay significantly more. And I do think there was some frustrations in that Georgia offensive meeting room this year. Certainly the close call last year, and with what happened this year, you know, between the second half of the SEC championship game, the short yardage struggles, and Justin Fields, I think there was a lot of pressure on Jim Chaney here. And certainly we've seen from the fans' reactions that as much good as he did, he was largely the scapegoat these past two seasons.
All right, last thing for you before we let you go. Would you characterize James Coley, who you mentioned a moment ago, as the favorite to become Chaney's replacement?
You know, I was actually on the phone right before you called, Brandon. I apologize. That's why I wasn't able to take those first couple calls from Connor there. From what I'm understanding, there, you know, Kirby is considering an outside person. I don't know if that means the play caller or the coordinator. I don't know if that means to, you know, who's the A and who's the B with Coley. Coley's well, you know. In fact, I'm working on that story right now. So I would say that is in flux. It's, you know, I don't know what the title's going to be, if it'll be another co-coordinator type of situation. I don't know if Coley's going to be ready for the play calling, because I've been told that Kirby is talking to outside people about that position. But is it a co-position? Is it the head position? I don't know. I don't even know if that's been determined. So I think that's a very fluid situation right now. But I would certainly say Coley would be considered for that.
Well, Mike, I will tell you this. You're a veteran reporter. You've been around the block a few times here, and it's great to have your resources, your ability to make contact with the newsmakers and provide that information for us here at DogNation.com. So we really appreciate that. We will look forward to reading everything else you got to write on this subject in the days ahead of DogNation.com. It's incredibly generous for you to spend some time with us here today on Dog Nation Daily, and we will look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thanks, Brandon. Great report by Jeff Sintel getting the story. Everybody was chasing on Sam Pittman, so the team is really getting after it. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So interesting from Mike there at the end, saying that his sources are telling him that Georgia is at least talking to outside names beyond just the inside, you know, promoted candidate of James Coley. Now, as Mike alluded to, that could mean a number of things. It could mean an outside name to step in as tight ends coach in replacement of the position role that Chaney filled, or it could mean, you know, co-offensive coordinator, an actual offensive coordinator with Coley not getting a promotion. There are a number of things that could mean in terms of, you know, what an outside coach could do for Georgia. It could be above Coley in the food chain or below Coley in the food chain. But interesting there from Mike that he's already hearing from sources that that Kirby is talking to outside guys here in terms of potentially filling that role. And, of course, Dog Nation will be all over that as more information comes available. I've got more on Chaney myself. And the other thing I'm going to finish up with today, you heard Mike talk a lot about short yardage situations. That may be the one area in which we do have some evidence that Kirby Smart was dissatisfied with Jim Chaney. And everything else is sort of circumstantial and guessing, but this may be the one example in which we can feel with some confidence that we know that Kirby Smart wasn't loving everything about that. I'll give you some numbers to back it up, and I'll give you some evidence for that coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, let me tell you about a great offer at Kroger. Starting today, you can earn 3 times the fuel points on hundreds of items at your local Atlanta Kroger, including all bakery cookies, all floral items, and all pet items. That is now through January 22nd. So visit your local Atlanta store today to start earning your fuel points. You need this stuff anyway, especially with Valentine's Day coming up, with the floral stuff and everything else. So buy that stuff at your local Kroger and earn the fuel points. How about that? 3 times the fuel points right now. That is a great deal. All right. One of the things for me that can be a little bit maddening about offensive coordinator talk is that A, no one seems to agree on anything, and B, every offensive coordinator is to a certain degree disliked or distrusted by either the fans on the scene or the media that covers him. So now you got Jim Chaney moving on to Tennessee, and how this story is going to be covered for from the Knoxville perspective, I think it's going to be really interesting because, as you know, Georgia's going to be playing Chaney each and every year. So is this a good hire or a bad hire for Tennessee? Well, apparently it sort of depends on who you ask on this. Let me show you a tweet from Dan Wolk in USA Today. Dan lives in Georgia, so he's at a lot of Georgia games. About how Tennessee fans should feel about Chaney, Wolkin tweets out, Jim Chaney is fine. He's fine. He's perfect if you want your offense to be uncreative and yet maddening. That's Dan Wolkin from USA Today. A lot of Georgia fans say, that's exactly right. That is exactly what Jim Chaney is. He's maddening. He's uncreative. It's predictable play calling. It's also the same thing that Georgia fans said about Mike Bobo and probably, every fan base says about, virtually every offensive coordinator. I mean, you have a hard time finding any coordinator who has universal approval among his fan base. The flip side of that, though, is you hear Wolkin saying that. Jimmy Hyams, the guy we quoted from here on Dog Nation Daily a couple days ago, longtime voice around Tennessee, has a decidedly different take on Jim Chaney. Once again, to the Twitter sphere we go here for Jimmy Hyams, who says, two coaches with SEC ties told me that Chaney is the best offensive coordinator and best play caller in the SEC. Chaney will get a 3-year deal, about $4.5 million, and Hyams says he has got a $500,000 buyout at Georgia. But the bigger issue here is the fact that Jimmy Hyams says, I had two people to tell me, coaches with SEC ties, he's the best play caller in the SEC. What is the real truth? Like a lot of things, probably somewhere in the middle. I think overall, though, what the story of Chaney to Tennessee really means is that Jeremy Pruitt, who has always felt like a little bit of a firebrand, a little bit of a hothead, sometimes the brightest fires, the hottest fires burn out the quickest. I think there was some wait and see about Jeremy Pruitt when he first gets the Tennessee job. Will he eventually burn out? Is this inexperienced, never before been a head coach guy? Can he handle the demeanor necessarily to become a head coach? With a lot of these things, it's who you hire as an offensive coordinator that determines your job security. Will Muschamp never found his offensive coordinator at Florida, and he was out of the job within 3 years. Kirby Smart found the stability of Georgia largely because of what Jim Chaney and the offense provided to UGA, especially in the SEC championship season of 2017. The one thing that I think that Chaney provides for Tennessee, probably not a huge boost in 2019 necessarily, because as Mike Griffith pointed out a moment ago, I still don't think Tennessee's all that talented. But the likelihood that Pruitt's still employed in 2020, in 2021, in 2022, the fact that he gets a full 5 years to kind of really establish himself at Tennessee and then see where this program's going, I think Chaney makes that a lot more plausible. I think that Tennessee as a program is just going to have a lot more professional face with a more competent offensive coordinator. And, by the way, the other thing that will be very interesting here, Chaney probably ran the ball and committed himself to running the ball at Tennessee more than he did, at Georgia more than he did really any other program in any of his career stops up to this point. at Tennessee in the future, is it a very different looking Jim Chaney in terms of the kinds of plays that he prefers calling? My guess is you will see that given the personnel in place there in Knoxville. And that could also be a pretty interesting contrast as well. We will make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, I want to talk a little bit more about one of the things that Mike Griffith brought up, which is, you know, the issues that Georgia had in short yardage offense this season. You remember the goal line stand that Florida was able to have against Georgia in a game that ultimately Georgia still won in blowout fashion, but what was it, six or seven plays right down near the goal line? Georgia could not score. The following week against Kentucky, Georgia also has some other goal line issues, which became sort of the video heard around the world. If you're watching on video, we'll show this to you. If you're listening, you've probably seen this before. It's the deal where Kirby Smart gets so upset and talking to his headset that he eventually puts his, you know, cups his hands over the ears and just really screams into that headset after another goal line failure. I mean, for a lot of people, they're going to look at that piece of video knowing when it happened after another goal line issue and knowing what was going on with Georgia and say that right there proves that Kirby Smart was dissatisfied with Chaney, at least in that regard, when it came to the goal line offense. Now, I would say, first of all, be careful reading too much into body language on the sideline. Football is an intense sport. Coaches have a way of coaching in an intense fashion. Sometimes the body language can be misleading, but it's probably not too much of a stretch to say Kirby Smart would probably look at that short yardage, red zone goal line offense and say that it could have been better. I thought that Bill Conley, leading in the SEC championship game at Football Study Hall, had some interesting stats to kind of back some of this up as well. The one area in which Georgia does need to improve with a new offensive coordinator, the one issue in which Jim Chaney was clearly deficient. If you look at how Georgia kind of got worse as it got close to the goal line, Conley wrote that by the time that Georgia got inside the opponent's 3-yard line this past season, this is going into the SEC championship, that Georgia's success rate, meaning the percentage of yards it got on a given play, was just 129th in the country. Conley wrote at Football Study Hall, as the goal line nears, UGA changes from one of the country's best offenses to one of the worst. So that's some actual data to back up what we saw Kirby Smart on the sideline of Kentucky be upset about. That is, Georgia got closer to the goal line, all of a sudden its offensive efficiency, which was, you know, top three, top four, top five, depending on which one of these metrics you favor, by the time you got down near the goal line, Georgia became 129th in the country in success rate. Conley, in that same piece, wrote that one of the ways in which, you know, goal line success typically occurs is you've got to throw the ball at the goal line. And there was a belief among many Georgia fans that Jim Chaney was just too conservative there in that regard. So if you want to sort of attach a criticism to Chaney that probably sticks, what Georgia did at the goal line, especially against Florida and against Kentucky, that probably, kind of sticks to that there. But it's also worth pointing out that those were also blowout victories for Georgia. Auburn was right there in that, you know, same mix. And that was also an easy win for UGA, because, you know, the overall bottom line is while the goal line offense may not have been great, the rest of the plays from Jim Chaney's perspective seemed to be working pretty well. In fact, I was going to play this audio early in the show and I forgot to. Can we hear Jim Chaney, his defense of his Georgia offense from the critics? This is what Chaney said leading into the Sugar Bowl on that.
I feel good about it. You know, as a coach nowadays, when you're clicking around that 40-point game mark, you feel like you've done okay. You're scoring points. So when you sit in this chair, you're never happy. You know, we're looking for that perfect game and perfection at all times. Are we content with what we got done? In some ball games, other games we didn't play particularly well. But I think we did throw the ball a little bit better than we have in the years past, and I do believe that'll continue to grow and continue to develop. And I've talked to you guys a lot about familiarity of offense, and now Jake just ran through his second year in the system, and that shows. You ask about Jeremiah, third year in the program. You know, those first 2 years, as we're playing with a bunch of young kids, except for the boys that took off for the draft. And, I think I'm most proud of those kids that left for the draft and the quality individuals they are. The young kids stepped back up, and we were able to maintain and continue to achieve some points that we needed to win a few ball games.
So interesting stuff from Jim Chaney on that. You know, the familiarity of the offense, that's a phrase that he uses. And I think that one way or another, whether it's promoting James Coley or a combination of hires that maintain some of the same stuff in place, one way or another, I do think Georgia can look to maintain that familiarity with the offense. I think it wants, Jake Fromm to be comfortable going into its third season next year, wants more development from guys like J.J. Holloman, and wants to continue to have success around what the nucleus of this Georgia offense has been, which is Sam Pittman's offensive line. Good news, the Pittman is returning, and it's certainly a great opportunity for the guys that he's brought into the program to help lead this program to better heights there in 2019. It's going to be a really interesting story. It's going to intensify the Georgia-Tennessee rivalry because, as we've said a million times in today's show, Vols are going to have their side of the story. Georgia's going to have its side of the story, and we'll see where this goes. I will remind you, speaking of SEC East rivals, 802 days since Florida's beaten Georgia. It's our Gator Hater Updater. And by the way, Georgia basketball against Vanderbilt tonight. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.